Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So good to see everyone. If you'll quickly come in and grab a seat. Just have a few announcements to highlight. I'm going to bring up now James and Alexis. They're going to begin our announcement section. Will you please give your attention to James and Alexis if you'll come now.
Good morning. Good morning. We are here to talk about a course called Alpha.
Alpha changes lives. It definitely changed ours. I know that I really appreciated an invitation to Alpha. First went 2 years ago. If you can think of somebody whom you know who could really be touched by an affirming, just accepting community, a great network of people, dinner, a movie, just nice fellowship, invite them to Alpha, and we have cards in the back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Also, we have with us today from Peaceful Paths, Dr. Teresa Harrison. Would you put your hands together and welcome her? She's going to share a few words a little later. Thank you for being here with us. If you will at this time join me for the Trinity Liturgy, welcome home. And why are we here? To worship God. Please prepare your hearts and your minds for worship.
Please stand and sing with me, I'm Thine, O Lord. Good revival song, sing out. Thank you.
sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore thee.
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Some names will appear on the screens. You may be familiar with these or not. We have Hank Brotherton, Roger Bryan, and Virginia O'Brien. And pray for those also in the hospital. Randy Kite is the other person. There may be some additional names that we are unaware of. If you'll please just get those persons on your hearts and minds. Let us at this time go to the Lord in prayer. As the musician plays softly, Father in heaven, we come to you now. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your love. We're reminded of Psalm 8, which says, O Lord, thy God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And God, we're here gathered as a community of faith, your created community of faith, in honor of you. We come to say thank you. We come to pause to worship you and to feast upon your presence. Lord, we invoke and invite you to be present, O Lord, in the moment of Holy Communion, that you will commune with us, O Lord. My mind goes back to the story of the walk to Emmaus when their eyes were open in the breaking of the bread. I pray, O God, that our eyes become more open today to your love and to your grace. God, we pray for those who have been in the pathway of the tornadoes this past week. We pray that you will wrap your loving arms around those families and be with rescue agents, etc., to help build lives, put lives back together. God, also, those who are in the hospitals here, God, we ask that you'll just make your presence felt and known. Lord, there may be some unspoken prayer concerns and requests, and you know all about them, O Lord. We haven't shared them with anyone. We ask that you'll just attend to our hearts this morning. Meet our needs, O Lord, according to your riches and glory. God, we also pray for Dan Johnson this morning, who will break the bread of life. Undergird him with your support and your anointing and your care. No, God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this, our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, David. We're honored to have Dr. Teresa Harrison, who is with Peaceful Paths. Teresa, would you come up and Teresa, tell us, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
I'm Dr. Teresa Harrison. I'm the Executive Director of Peaceful Paths. In your bulletin, you have a little description about us. We are the state-certified domestic violence center that serves Alachua, Bradford, and Union counties. I've been with the organization almost 12 years, very happy to do so. And our organization really could not exist without the generosity and support of the community. And I'm very happy and appreciative to be here today to talk to you all and the congregation of Trinity, which is such a great support for us. Not only do you support us monetarily, which we greatly appreciate, which is a tremendous help to our client services, but you do that other great thing, which is to lend your voice to this issue and let women and children who are impacted by violence in our communities know that there are safe havens for them and that there are services available. We're your neighbor right up the street. Our outreach offices are there. So if any of you would ever like to come by and take a tour, learn a little bit more about our organization and what we do, we'd love to have you. In the coming months, you're going to be seeing some new exciting things happening around our office. We were very blessed last fall to receive our largest donation. In fact, it's one of the largest donations that any domestic violence center has received in the state of Florida. One of our board members and his partner gave us $1 million, and we're using that money to expand services, which we're very excited about. We're going to be creating a housing campus in the 16 acres directly behind our office. And what that will do is support 20 units of permanent supportive housing for women and children and special populations of single women who have become homeless due to domestic violence, where they can live for up to 10 years as they transition to a path to self-sufficiency. Wow. So we're really, really excited about that. Hope that you all will become part of that. Also, if you are interested in supporting us and doing something fun, on April 12th, we'll be having our annual guest chef cocktail party at the Gainesville Women's Club. We hope that you can join us for that. There'll be 35 local folks sharing their greatest creations from their kitchen, as well as some live jazz and a really good opportunity to meet and greet some of the supporters for our organization. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Teresa. Teresa, I forgot to tell you that Methodists aren't allowed to go to cocktail parties. Yeah, good deal. Thank you so much. David, did you happen to mention the Pfeiffer University Chorale? Pfeiffer University Chorale is coming next Monday night, a week from tomorrow night, and we need still three or four houses to host, so if you could be a part of that, we'd love for you to do that. Are some of you going to the game today? I thought you might greet each other by saying, I hope three or four of the UK players missed their flight down here. But you greet the people around you and welcome them.
Hi.
Regarding Peaceful Paths, that's today's mission box. Please keep this very important ministry and organization in our thoughts, in your thoughts and prayers. At this time, let us pray. Gracious God, indeed, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we thank you for this opportunity to give back unto you. We pray for Peaceful Paths that you'll continue to open the windows of heaven and pour forth blessings, O God. O Lord, we pray for the gift and the giver this morning. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you.
Good morning. My name is Miles Davis, and today Sunlight will be singing Shower the People by James Taylor. Shower the People is a song that describes and really shows and contains the power of love. With lines reading, make it, make it, make it damp, rain down love. Love, love, love is a sun shower. These lines really describe the way that God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ feel for us. Romans 5:8 reads, but God shows his love for us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. This does a great job showing the amount of love that God has for us and capturing the idea that love really is like a sun shower pouring down like rain. So singing this song today is Jasmine Gabriel and Zachary Ayala.
The only way, 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 the only faith
in
your life. You know the rain will fall, but like the pouring down rain, pouring down, make it rain. Make it rain down, love, 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 love of sunshine. Yeah, make it, make it rain, love, 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 love. Yeah, say everybody, everybody. Oh, oh, somebody. Somebody gonna love someone. Love, 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 love of sunshine. Things will be much better if you only will.
Awesome. Jasmine and Zach, great. Thank you. Jasmine, you're in what grade? Eighth grade? I remember when I baptized you a long time ago. Wow. And who are the two guitarists?
Trenton and Tanner.
Trenton and Tanner. Awesome job, guys. Wow. We're focusing in Lent, this Lent, on the seven last words of Jesus, or the seven last phrases of Jesus, actually that he spoke from the cross. Last week, Monique preached on, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I love Luke's gospel, maybe more than the others. I love Luke's gospel. He really has a heart for the outsider, the outcast, the lost. Talks about Jesus meeting with the sinners and the rough crowd. And there he is on the cross between two thieves, his last breaths, welcoming the one who asked into his kingdom. Here's the scripture. Two other men, both criminals, also were led out with him to be executed. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah, the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, this very day, you will be with me in paradise. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. You all probably noticed the two crosses on either side of the big cross, reminiscent, reminding us of this particular scripture. Our bishop has requested all of the clergy in Florida Annual Conference, about 700 of us, attend some 2.5-day seminar. On sensitivity and inclusivity. I love our bishop. I'm going to miss him when he retires this year. He's a brilliant man. And he, I think rightly, has sensed some disconnects across the conference. Not every church would welcome or receive a woman pastor or a cross-racial appointment. So we had these important meetings, and it was right here in Gainesville, about 90 of us. There'll be four or five more out at the conference center on Newberry Road between the I-75 and Tower Road, whatever that one's called there. It used to be the Holiday Inn, I think. And there were two powerful things that happened to me and David and Monique, I think, there. And if I want to try to recapture that, it's not easy to do. But like I say, there are about 90 of us. We're in this large conference room, and they had us all come together in the center of the room. And then they gave us some directions. If you were born in the United States, move to the left, my left. If you weren't, move to the right, and there were 82 here and 8 over there. And then she said, if your native language is English, come over here. And if it's not, over there. There were 89 of us here and one over there. Benton. I know Benton. Benton's the pastor of the High Springs United Methodist Church, First Methodist in High Springs. I want to come back to that. Well, no, I'll stay with that. I thought, wow. And this was just really powerful to me for some reason. And it occurred to me, what would compel the majority to act on behalf of the minority? Very little in our human condition would cause us to do that. I mean, we would do things for us and let him find his own way. They also ask us, those of you who are male, step one side, and female over there. This is about 80-20. Again, what would compel the majority to act on behalf of the minority? As I said, I learned some things. I learned that there are still churches who don't let women be ushers, will not let women be in positions of leadership. I'd forgotten that that was still out there. I remember a few years ago, and a friend of mine, a pastor in another university town, their church brought on a woman clergy as the associate minister, and 30 of their members left. And of course, we have what Peaceful Paths talks about. We have where a fairly prominent radio personality will bully a Georgetown University student. We still have a lot of work to do. They also had us, if you're white or if you're not white. And I thought about, what is it that would compel, again, the majority to act on behalf of the minority? And it seems to me that there's something intrinsic in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The one who was in the form of God, Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, who thought equality with God was not something to be grasped, but emptied himself, came down among us. I came to seek and to save the lost. I come among you as a servant. My last words on the cross are between two thieves. Came from a position of power to a position of vulnerability. In this book that I'm asking all of us to read, and many of your groups are doing it, Timothy Keller's Generous Justice, How God's Grace Makes Us Just. In there, I mentioned the sort of heart and soul of it is that when we truly experience God's amazing grace, when we hear Him say, today you'll be with me in paradise, you're my child, you're welcomed in, when we experience that grace, it becomes a part of us, if we really get it, to extend that grace to others. And if we're not compelled to extend it to others, we either haven't gotten it or we don't understand the implications of it. He tells this amazing story at the end of the book about a community in Martha's Vineyard. Back in the 1600s, they'd come from a place in Kent, England. They had inherited deafness. It's an amazing story of how a majority disadvantages itself on behalf of the minority. They had inherited deafness. They were there isolated on that island, Martha's Vineyard. In one part of the community, one in every 25 was deaf, had inherited deafness. In one section of that area, one in four. Now, it's no longer an issue because of getting off the island, meeting other people and all that sort of thing. But Mrs. Croce, Yale professor Nora Ellen Croce, wrote a book in the 1980s called Everyone Here Spoke Sign Language. And she interviewed some people about this. And she said, what did you think about these persons who were deaf? They said, well, it was no big deal. In most societies, physically handicapped people are forced to adapt to the life patterns of the non-handicapped, or the minority to the majority. But that's not what happened on the vineyard. She said, well, you must have been necessary for everybody to write things down on paper in order to communicate with them. Oh, no, he said. Everybody here spoke sign language. You mean everybody's parent, every family of a deaf person? No, everybody in town. I used to speak it. My mother did. Everybody. What had happened was that an entire community had disadvantaged itself en masse for the sake of a minority. Instead of making the non-hearing minority learn to read lips, the whole hearing majority learned signing. All the hearing became bilingual, so that the deaf people were able to enter fully into the social fabric. And they were farmers, fishermen, everything else. Perhaps the most interesting aspect of Croce's research was the revelation of how hearing people had their own communication abilities enhanced. They found many uses for signing besides communication with the deaf. Children signed to one another during sermons in the church or behind a teacher's back at school. Neighbors could sign to one another over distances in a field or even through a spyglass telescope. One woman remembers how her father would be able to stand on a windy cliff and sign his intentions to the fishermen below. Another remembers how sick people who could not speak were able to sign to make their needs known. In other words, the disadvantage that the hearing vineyarders assumed, that is, the effort and trouble to learn another language, turned out to be for their benefit after all. Their new abilities made life easier, more productive. They changed their culture to include an otherwise disadvantaged minority, but in the process made themselves and their society richer. What is it that compels the majority to disadvantage itself on behalf of a minority? It seems to me Jesus did that. And he calls his followers to do something similar. How that lives itself out with compassion and care and grace. There was one other experience. I mean, there are lots of experiences. One other experience that impacted me greatly. They asked us to get into groups of about 8 or 10 and to remember. The thief on the cross said, remember me. They ask us to remember back into our earliest experiences, our first encounter with a person of a different ethnic or racial origin. I right away thought of Louis Rogan. It was in middle school, high school, tremendous African-American athlete, played at Morehead State. But as I listened to others, and here were a couple of interesting from another part of Florida, I won't tell you where, he said, my first encounter with an African-American person was, I was in third grade, and it was in the days of integration, early days, and a young African-American girl came in, and pretty soon the teacher said to me, Joey, obviously she doesn't know how to write her own name. Go show her how to write her name. He said, I didn't know what to do. I had to do what she said. I was so uncomfortable. I knew this was bad. I didn't know whether I should touch her. I didn't know what to do. How did you feel? I said, I felt awful. Another one. This guy's probably 60 years old. He said, my first encounter was in junior high. And I was taught, grew up in the South, to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. No, sir. Use the word sir. The custodian was an African American. So when I first met him, I ended my connection with him, sir. Yes, sir, no, sir. Right after that, some of the older boys got me off to the side and said, don't you ever use the word sir. We don't say the word sir to those people. He said, I knew if I ever did it again, they would beat me up. So he said, I was incredibly conflicted. He said, I would see Mr. So-and-so come down the hallway, and I would turn and go the other way so I wouldn't have to be conflicted between the way I was raised and the way I didn't want to get beaten up. Do you remember your first encounter with a person of a different racial, ethnic origin? The lights came on for me partway through this circle of sharing. It wasn't Louis Rogan, that was later. My first encounter with persons of a different ethnic background were when I was about 7 years old, and there were three men from India or Pakistan, I'm not sure which, from India, I think, who were on an agricultural exchange, and they came and stayed in our home for about a week. They stayed in one of the bedrooms. They ate other meals with us. We engaged in conversation about life in India, about agriculture. They visited us out by the farm with milk and the cows and all that sort of stuff. It was, and I had this overwhelming sense of a thank you to my parents, these rural farmers, and say, thank you, Mom and Dad. I even breathed that word, that my first encounter with these persons from India was this enormously positive experience. And then it dawned on me that a year and a half or 2 years ago, when we first started in the Gainesville Interfaith Forum, the Gathering for Peace, Understanding, and Hope, reaction to the guy around the corner, and to some degree it was my own theological understanding, it was my understanding as a follower of Jesus that you reach out on behalf of those who are impacted negatively. But I had this realization that while it was some of that, a lot of it was living out those seeds that my parents planted in me unknowingly as a child. Incredibly grateful. Shaped how I longed to meet people from different cultures, all that sort of stuff. What was your first encounter with a person of a different ethnic origin? How has that shaped you? I wondered how Jesus, why he was so prone to honor the Samaritans, why he used the name Naaman, a Syrian, in a high way, a positive way. What was it that made Jesus reach out to, in positive ways, to foreigners? I wondered if he had a similar childhood experience that, you remember when we were talking in Advent, that when Mary and Joseph were coming from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, they came through the area of Samaria, and I wonder if somebody helped them in their time of need. And Mary or Joseph told Jesus that story later, and he was predisposed to like these persons. Or, if from the heart of God in heaven above, he just knew that he came to earth to live in compassion to all people, regardless of any walls of separation. And I thought then of the thief on the cross. And I wonder what made one of them turn and hurl insults at Jesus, and one said, Jesus, remember me. There's always these two crosses, these three crosses. I guess we have a choice, don't we? And I thought that maybe this is all guesswork, maybe the one who said, Jesus, remember me, I wonder if that wasn't his first encounter with Jesus. I wonder if this thief was there on the fringes around Jesus, and he saw how Jesus reached out to the outcast, the outsiders, the sinners. He was maybe there when the Pharisees complained, Jesus, why do you spend so much time and eating with the tax collectors and sinners? And he heard Jesus tell the story. Well, the reason is there was a shepherd who had 99 sheep, but one was lost. And he went after them, and maybe his heart quickened. Or the woman who had that coin that was lost and she tore up the house. Or the father who had that lost son and he waited day after day for that son to come. Maybe that thief began to say, I don't really believe in God and I don't believe in his Messiah, but if there is a God, I would want the Messiah to look like him. Or if he was there when Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, there was a certain man who went from Jerusalem down to Jericho and he fell among thieves, and maybe the thief on the cross thought, oh my gosh, he knows me. I've done that. I've been on that trail down there. It's so treacherous. I've robbed a lot of people. Is he going to out me? And yet he used that story. Or if he was there in Jericho when Zacchaeus, who was an outsider, was made front and center. Come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to eat at your house. And Zacchaeus invited all his rowdy friends over. And maybe the thief was one of them. I don't know. But something happened, or maybe it was the first encounter, and when he looked at Jesus' eyes, and in the midst of his pain and anger and torture, he heard Jesus say those words he could hardly believe, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he thought, wow, if he can forgive them, maybe he could forgive me. And so he breathed that praise. Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said these four important things. First, he said, amen. I tell you the truth. Amen. You know, that's a Hebrew word. It's carried over in the Greek New Testament. Amen. You can bank on this. You can count on this. This is the absolute truth. Truly, I tell you, today, not tomorrow, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, think about it 1 minute, would you? What if Jesus had given a different answer? What if Jesus had said, sorry, no? What if he'd said, no, you've got to be baptized first? What if he'd said, no, you've done too much wrong? What if he'd said, you don't even know the Apostles' Creed? I mean, I'm so glad he said what he said. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That means there's hope for me and for you. Today you'll be with me. Some people wonder what that meaning of today is, because there's mixed messages, some confusion from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It looks almost like Paul's suggesting a waiting period, but I think there's a misunderstanding of that. I think what Jesus said is absolutely right. The moment we take our last breath, we enter into eternal life with God above. Well, would you pray with me? God, there's work to be done. We've been recipients of your grace. And sometimes maybe others, have withheld some of that grace to others. That which is to be a gift passed on has been a gift hoarded. And we don't know the names of those two guys on the cross, but we find ourselves there. May every one of us breathe the words, remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And may we each hear, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. As we prepare to receive Holy Communion, God, we open our hearts to you. We make our confession to you, wherein we've failed you and failed others. Ask your forgiveness. And in the sacrament of Holy Communion, the empowerment to live as you would call us to live, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me as we celebrate on this first Sunday of the month the sacrament of Holy Communion? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread and gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we now offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. Ushers, would you come? And all of you, we invite you to receive the gift of the bread and the cup. Just a reminder, you don't need to be a member of this church. We just invite you to follow Jesus. And there's gluten-free elements in the very back. If you would just let the ushers know, they would be glad to bring that to you.
Change the speak of living heart.
body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. Feed on him by faith.
And the blood of Christ shed for you and for many. Take you now and drink.
God, we give you thanks for this gift unspeakable, full of glory. Empower us to live as you would call us to live. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you stand and receive the benediction? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit.